Butterfly in the sky. I can go twice as high. It's Diggolo. It's Cinnabub. It's Chip and Eric. Hi, Hannah.
And friends.
Oh.
Yeah. You butchered it.
I can go anywhere. And friends. Was that better?
It was so good.
Thanks. Well, everyone, before Hannah falls even more in love with me. I know. It's hard to believe that you could. Is that what that sound was?
I wonder what people think our dynamic is who are first tuning in today. Like they don't know any of our history.
Or that we're married?
Yeah. That's what I meant by
it.
History.
I spoiled it. Our history. Our history. Tell me a little about yourself. I'm married.
That's the history.
Okay. I like that. Hey, speaking of history,
today
is day.
Oh, Eric.
What, Hannah? What?
Where's Mr. Mathematician?
He's a mathemagician.
When you
actually
need him.
Today's day 132.
Okay.
Okay. Is that right? And today on day 132, we're going to be reading Proverbs
19 to 20.
Yes, and
1 Corinthians 5.
That's right. Better to be poor and honest than to be dishonest and a fool. Enthusiasm without knowledge is no good. Haste makes mistakes. People ruin their lives by their own foolishness and then are angry at God. Mm-hmm. Wealth makes many friends, quote unquote. Poverty drives them all away. A false witness will not go unpunished, nor will a liar escape. Many seek favors from a ruler. Everyone is the friend of a person who gives gifts. The relatives of the poor despise them. How much more will their friends avoid them? Though the poor plead with them, their friends are gone. To acquire wisdom is to love yourself. People who cherish understanding will prosper. A false witness will not go unpunished, and a liar will be destroyed. It isn't right for a fool to live in luxury or for a slave to rule over princes. Sensible people control their temper. They can earn respect by overlooking wrongs. The king's answer is like a lion's roar, but his favor is like dew on the grass. A foolish child is a calamity to a father. A quarrelsome wife is as annoying as constant dripping.
Mm-hmm.
I like that. Fathers can give their sons an inheritance of houses and wealth, but only the Lord can give understanding. An understanding wife, huh? Lazy people sleep soundly, but idleness leaves them hungry. Keep the commandments and keep your life. Despising them leads to death. If you help the poor, you are lending to the Lord, and he will repay you. Discipline your children while there is hope. Otherwise, you will ruin their lives. Hot-tempered people must pay the penalty. If you rescue them once, you'll have to do it again. Get all the advice and instruction you can so you can be wise, so you will be wise the rest of your life. You can make many plans, but the Lord's purpose will prevail. Loyalty makes a person attractive. It is better to be poor than dishonest. Fear of the Lord leads to life, bringing security and protection from harm. Lazy people take food in their hand, but don't even lift it to their mouth. If you punish a mocker, the simple-minded will learn a lesson. If you correct the wise, they will be all the wiser. Children who mistreat their father or chase away their mother are an embarrassment and a public disgrace. If you stop listening to instruction, my child, you will turn your back on knowledge. A corrupt witness makes a mockery of justice. The mouth of the wicked gulps down evil. Punishment is made for mockers, and the backs of fools are to be beaten, are made to be beaten.
Proverbs 20. Wine produces mockers. Alcohol leads to brawls. Those led astray by drink cannot be wise. The king's fury is like a lion's roar. To rouse his anger is to risk your life. Avoiding a fight is a mark of honor. Only fools insist on quarreling. Those too lazy to plow in the right season will have no food at the harvest. Though good advice lies deep within the heart, a person with understanding will draw it out. Many will say they are loyal friends, but who can find one who is truly reliable? The godly walk with integrity. Blessed are the children who follow them. When a king sits in judgment, he weighs all the evidence, distinguishing the bad from the good. Who can say, I have cleansed my heart, I am pure and free from sin? False weights and unequal measures, the Lord detests double standards of every kind. Even children are known by the way they act, whether their conduct is pure and whether it is right. Ears to hear and eyes to see, both are gifts from the Lord. If you love sleep, you will end in poverty. Keep your eyes open, and there will be plenty to eat. The buyer haggles over the price, saying it's worthless, then brags about getting a bargain. Wise words are much more valuable than much gold and many rubies. Get security from someone who guarantees a stranger's debt. Get a deposit if he does it for foreigners. Stolen bread tastes sweet, but it turns to gravel in the mouth. Plans succeed through good counsel. Don't go to war without wise advice. A gossip goes around telling secrets, so don't hang around with chatterers. If you insult your father or mother, your light will be snuffed out in total darkness. An inheritance obtained too early in life is not a blessing in the end. Don't say, I will get even for this wrong. Wait for the Lord to handle the matter. The Lord detests double standards. He is not pleased by dishonest scales. The Lord directs our steps, so why try to understand everything along the way? Don't trap yourself by making a rash promise to God and only later counting the cost. A wise king scatters the wicked like wheat, then runs his threshing wheel over them. The Lord's light penetrates the human spirit, exposing every hidden motive. Unfailing love and faithfulness protect the king. His throne is made secure through love. The glory of the young is their strength. The gray hair of experience is the splendor of the old. Physical punishment cleanses away evil. Such discipline purifies the heart.
Okay, off to 1 Corinthians 5 we go. Paul condemns spiritual pride. I can hardly believe the report about sexual immorality going on among you, something that even pagans don't do. I'm told that a man in your church is living in sin with his stepmother. You are so proud of yourselves, but you should be mourning in sorrow and shame. You should remove this man from your fellowship. Even though I'm not with you in person, I'm with you in the spirit. And as though I were there, I have already passed judgment on this man in the name of the Lord Jesus. You must call a meeting of the church. I will be present with you in spirit, so will the power of our Lord Jesus. Then you must throw this man out and hand him over to Satan so that this sinful nature will be destroyed and he himself will be saved on the day the Lord returns. Your boasting about this is terrible. Don't you realize that sin is like a little yeast that spreads through the whole batch of dough? Get rid of the old yeast by removing this wicked person from among you. Then you will be like a fresh batch of dough made without yeast, which is what you really are. Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed for us. So let us celebrate the festival, not with the old bread of wickedness and evil, but with the new bread of sincerity and truth. When I wrote to you before, I told you not to associate with people who indulge in sexual sin. But I wasn't talking about unbelievers who indulge in sexual sin, or are greedy, or cheat people, or worship idols. You would have to leave this world to avoid people like that. I meant that you're not to associate with anyone who claims to be a believer, yet indulges in sexual sin, or is greedy, or worships idols, or is abusive, or is a drunkard, or cheats people. Don't even eat with such people. It isn't my responsibility to judge others, but it certainly is your responsibility to judge those inside the church who are sinning. God will judge those on the outside, but as the scriptures say, you must remove the evil person from among you. And that is our reading today.
That was the closest yet.
Huh? Because I caught on to your wiles. Mm-hmm.
Impressive.
Yes, yes. Indeed, oh, do you hear indeed. That dripping? Do you hear that constant dripping? Do I hear a constant drip? I wonder how long people would listen before they just quit the podcast.
Or fell asleep.
Yeah, that's true. Well, no.
Or had to pee.
Or started quarreling with their wife.
I says there a lot of times not to do that.
Quarrelsome wife is as annoying as constant dripping. Gotta fix the faucets.
It's a good
this
thing
place.
You have no idea what that's like.
Yeah. Hey guys, we read that with two questions of mine.
We did.
How does this help me love God more? And how does this help me love others more? So Hannah, mm-hmm. How does this help you love
others
more? I knew it was going to be others.
I don't remember, maybe it was just in my own study, but in the 1 Corinthians 5 passage, just the whole church discipline thing.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I misquoted that, saying it was from Romans the other day, so apologies.
I remember that vividly.
For those who, yeah, you called me on it. But anyway, sometimes the most loving thing to do is to hold someone accountable. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't mean judge in, like, the God judge way, because obviously that's exclusively for him. We're not end times judging here. We're just holding people accountable. You know, we're supposed to live above reproach and be blameless as Christians. And what other people see who are not yet Christians, they're going to be influenced. You know, their take on God comes from our behaviors a lot of times. And so it's the most loving thing, not only for the Christian that you're holding accountable, but also for the people who aren't yet saved, because they may catch that person in sin and say, well, you're either a hypocrite, or, oh, that's not the religion for me, or whatnot. And so, yeah, I rabbit trailed a little bit there, but
that's okay.
Yeah.
You're allowed to do that.
I think that is how we can love people better, is by holding them accountable. And that doesn't mean like nitpicking or keeping a record of wrongs. But like, if someone is living in blatant sin, I think coming alongside them and discipling them the way that God intended the church to do so and helping them through it is loving. And sometimes when that doesn't work, you do have to take it a step further and do church discipline and remove them so that they can, it's not a retaliation, but a rehabilitation.
Yeah.
As they're removed and they come back because they missed being part of something that's greater than themselves.
Mm-hmm.
That's all.
Yeah, and the thing with, removing that, especially sexual sin, but all of these things, you know, the greedy, all of that, it protects the rest of the church too. Picture it. Let's say two couples are, living in sexual sin in a church, right? And nothing's done about it. And then one day, you pull aside as an elder or whatever in the church, you pull aside one of the couples and you say, hey, unless you guys repent of this and move on and, live a pure life or get married or whatever, we're going to remove you from the church. And then they go, yo, well, what about that person over there? Right? And the point is that sin is, it spreads and it's contagious and it justifies itself by other sin. And then it just gets worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. So removing that is actually loving toward the rest of the church body too,
because
it protects the whole church from that. And like you said, it's rehabilitative. This guy that Paul says to remove from the fellowship in 2 Corinthians, he says it's time to bring him back. So spoilers for 2 Corinthians, but yeah, I love that. I love that church discipline is supposed to be rehabilitative. I think that's great. I was trying to find the proverb that I really liked. I can't remember what it was, where it was, but there were a few that were good, obviously.
What did it have to do with?
Like hating the law.
Like that we read today?
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, I don't remember what it was. I should probably have a pencil and stuff with me, but I don't, because I'm an idiot. Yeah. That's okay. I'm not going to continue this.
Yeah.
I love that God hates double standards. That was the other one that I was looking at.
A couple times.
I love that. I despise double standards so much. Something that you really ingrained in me, Hannah. Yeah. It's definitely how that went. No, but I've always hated double standards. Maybe it comes from being the youngest child or whatever, but I'm just like, I can't stand it when someone gets away with something. And it's like, it's always like, for me, dress code is huge. So at the school I work at, as you know, I have to cover my tattoos every day and I hate that. So when someone shows up and they're breaking dress code, I'm like, fix yourself now because I have to follow the dress code. You know, and whenever you have a double standard, you basically the other person is saying, I'm better than the rules, but you're not. Hate that.
Yep.
I think my dad says, Dad, I'm going to butcher this. He says, every time you fail to meet a new standard is set. So, that kind of goes along with that. But I love that he hates double standards. False weights and unequal measures is what he used to say, the double standards thing. What this means, actually, is when a monetary transaction would go down, they would weigh the gold according to, Do you know? The sanctuary shekel.
That's right. Right?
And so if you had a false weight that would make it seem like the sanctuary shekel was lighter than it was, then you could get away with paying less, or heavier than it was, you get away with charging more. And so that's what's happening in this. And I think it's just a reminder that false standards, you're ripping someone off, you know, or double standards, you're ripping someone off, you know.
And like you said, making them better than.
Yeah. Yep.
Or less than you.
Yeah, that's right. And God doesn't, he doesn't dig that. So, yeah. This reminds me of us in yard sailing. The buyer haggles over the price, saying it's worthless, then brags about getting a bargain. That's us.
It is?
Yeah, we haggle.
Do we brag? Haggle,
girl? Oh, I brag. I'm like, that's such a bargain.
What have we bought? You've haggled.
I don't know. Off the top of my head, I have no idea. Huh. Probably some junk that we turned around and sold. Hannah, I appreciate you reading with me today.
Yeah.
It's a wonderful thing.
Thanks for having me.
You know what? You're welcome.
In my own home.
Yeah.
I just appreciate it, you know?
Well, yeah. Yeah. I don't know what it is. I just keep hearing a dripping, so I got to go fix, I think, every faucet in the house. It feels like there's just every room I go in, there's this constant dripping.
Mm-hmm.
It's weird because we don't even have sinks in every room, but it's like just nonstop dripping. Do you hear that too?
Yeah.
That's so weird. Just a constant drip. Mm-hmm. Or like even in the car. Not when I'm alone so much. But when I'm in the car, like not even really just with the kids. You know what I mean? Like,
you know what I notice is date night.
Yeah, there's a lot of dripping.
Like in the restaurants are always dripping.
Oh, I know. It's crazy.
It's a mess.
The movie theater. Yeah. Huh. I wonder what that is.
Yeah, we'll just never know. Just that
constant, unending dripping.
We'll never know.
Hey, serious note. Happy Mother's Day tomorrow.
Hey, thanks.
You're welcome. That's all.
Okay.
Okay, Hannah, do you have some wisdom for the people?
Rude.
What? Give some wisdom to the people. Okay.
If you put peppermint oil on aches and pains,
yeah,
it can make it go away.
You can make the peppermint oil go away?
Yep. Makes your, hey, if you have a headache, you can put it on where your head hurts, peppermint oil, and it'll help it go away. And lavender oil helps you fall asleep.
The exception to that is your eyes.
Please don't put a peppermint oil on your eyes or
just
any
right in your
part
eyes.
Of your body that opens and closes.